If there's nothing else, let's have a word of prayer as we begin our time together tonight. Father, we just thank you so much for all that you do for us, the way you love us and take care of us. We thank you for the answer of prayers that we've had lately, and we just thank you that some that have been in the hospital are home now and doing better. And Father, just continue to be with all those on our prayer list and help them to get better. And those that have lost loved ones, we just ask that you would be with them and bless them and touch them and just help us to minister to them as well. Father, we thank you for your love and all that you do for us. Be with us tonight as we open up your word and study it, that we may learn those things that would help us to be better Christians and better servants for you. Thank you for blessing us, and please continue to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I forgot to mention, Mike Slatt had a procedure done today, and he's doing okay. Valumized. So if he says some things, or we won't hold that against you, Mike. Is Jamie back there somewhere? He just stepped out. I am so glad that it worked out that I could do this lesson tonight. We are in John chapter 15. Jamie put together a series of lessons on Jesus' I Am passages in John. And tonight we're going to be in chapter 15 talking about, well, before I tell you that, you probably can't see this back there. I know you guys have seen this tie before because I've worn it before. But this is my tie for the lesson tonight. I really didn't want to wear it because I just didn't want to wear it. But, you know, this is my John 15:5 tie. I am the vine, you are the branches. Okay, we got vines and branches and all that. Okay, and that's my illustration for tonight. But, so it really worked out that I could do this lesson. I'm glad that it did. So we are in John 15. I want to read verses 1 through 8 to start with, and then we'll, and there is so much here that I don't think we're going to get it all done, but we'll try. John 15, the first 8 verses. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So the vine and the branches. When he begins there, he doesn't begin by saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. That comes in down a little bit later. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, when he starts out by saying, I am the true vine, what do you think about? What question does that make you think? If he says, I am the true vine, what other vines are there? And, of course, the opposite of true would be false, not true. So then the question becomes, are there other vines that are false vines? I hear a yes and a must be. Well, there are. Let me read something to you from Psalm 80. Well, I had it, and where'd it go? It's asked me, do I love this Bible app? Oh, why now? No thanks. Sorry about that. I had it ready to go. And this is, okay. So. This is the New America Standard Version I'm using. I want to read. Okay. Here we go. All right, sorry for the delay. Psalm 80, beginning in verse 8, says, "You removed a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground before it, and it took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shadow, and the cedars of God with its boughs. It was sending out its branches to the sea, and its shoots to the river. Why have you broken down its hedges so that all who pass that way pick its fruit? A boar from the forest eats it away, and whatever moves in the field feeds on it. O God of hosts, turn again now, we beseech you. Look down from heaven and see, and take care of this vine." What is the vine? What is the vine? You had clues. All right, hold that thought. Okay, let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah 5, 1 through 7. Okay. All right, parable of the vineyard. Let me sing now for my well-beloved, a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with choicest vine. He built a tower in the middle of it, and also hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. Oh, now inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah, men of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard than I have not done with it? Why, when I expected it to produce good fruit, good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall, and it will become trampled ground. I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to rain no more, clouds to rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his delightful plant. He looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. So, what was the vine? What was the vine? Who was the vine?
God's people.
The Israelites, God's people. Okay, the vine that it's talking about. And when that's referenced, and there's several other references we're not going to get into, but a lot of times when that happens, the references aren't good references. What did the Israelites do?
Power over the Canaanites.
What?
Power over the Canaanites.
Yeah, but I mean, what did the Israelites do? Did they please God?
They went after other gods.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So they were not a true vine. They were a vine because they were God's people, but they were not a true vine. They were more of a false vine because they could have done better, but they didn't. But usually in those instances, Israel is shown as lacking in some way. And so with that taking place, Jesus says, I am the true vine. Okay? Not a false vine, not one like the Israelites had been. I am the true vine. And as Terry put very well in the first lesson we had, you know, Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, so we got a little contrast here between a vine, a false vine, and Jesus being the true vine. Are there other false vines? Other vines that aren't true? I get a yes. You have an example? What's that? In a sense, yeah. Okay. And this really fits in well with what Brad was talking about Sunday, and I really appreciate that. As I was thinking about this, and keep the concept of the vine and the branches being connected, because that is key to everything that we're talking about tonight. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and we must be connected. Okay? Because he tells us right there that every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he's going to take away. And every branch that bears fruit, he will prune it to make it bear more fruit. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But as I got to thinking about that, I got to thinking, okay, vines and branches, you know, trees and limbs, plants and stems and all that stuff, you know, they're all connected. Okay, I'm thinking, all right, so what are some other vines that we attach ourselves to? The world. Who said that? Good job. The world. What else? Okay. I just wrote down a few, you know, money, material possessions, power, prestige, ourself. We could go on and on and on. And what are those, Bradley? Tim. Well, yeah. Based on your lesson from Sunday, what would you call those?
Idols.
All right. And Brad was talking about that Sunday, and I thought, man, that just as soon as he said that Sunday, I'm going ding dong. The alarm went off here. Okay. I thought of that. Okay. And as he very well said Sunday, what are idols? Brad, you can answer that one. Okay, exactly. That's what I wanted to hear. Okay, he was talking about idolatry, about idols, the pursuit of something less than God as if it were God. Okay. Do we have any idols? What's that? Okay. So there are what?
Politics.
Oh dear. Okay, we're not gonna go there tonight. Okay, we never will get done. But anyway, so I got to thinking about that. You know, there are a lot of other false branches that we attach ourselves to. Jesus says, don't do it. I am the true vine. Okay, all these other things, and that's not to say that, you know, money and material possessions and family and jobs and houses and cars and that kind of stuff aren't good. But if they fit that category that Brad was talking about, where if they are something that we pursue that's less than God, as if it was God, if we're letting that take God's place, then that's wrong. And we're missing out on the true vine. We're missing out on Christ. Because if we are connected to him, okay, if that connection is solid and firm, everything else is going to take care of itself. Okay? All right, we need to move on. All right, so he talks there about what is the purpose of the branches? All right, to bear fruit. What's that mean?
To be healthy.
What?
Yeah,
Okay. How do we bear fruit?
Do good deeds and works for God.
Okay. Any examples? What do we read about in Galatians? Somebody help me out here. What do we read about in Galatians 5, 22? The fruits of the Spirit. All right, the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we could spend a series on each one of those. Okay? But we don't have time. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Okay, if we are going to bear fruit, do we need the fruits of Spirit in our lives? Yes. We do. Okay. You know, in the New Testament, the figure of good fruit represents the product of a godly life. And if we've got the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, okay, and not just, well, I like this one, or this one, or this one, this one. No, it's all of them. They're all important, and they're all key. And we need to have all those in our lives, okay, if we are gonna bear fruit as we are supposed to do. Okay? Now, so he says, the ones that bear fruit, if you don't bear fruit, he takes you away. But the branches that bear fruit, we're going to come back to that a little bit later. The branches that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. What's that mean? What do you do when you prune? What's that?
Trim it up so it's more productive.
Okay, trim it up so it's more productive. Okay. I've got an example. We've got a white rose bush at home that's been in the family before we were married. It's been a long time ago. About 45 years almost. Was Kathy's grandmother's, and it ended up at her mom and dad's when they moved to where we are now, and it's been there. Beautiful white rose bush. And every year, I whack at it a little bit. It tends to get kind of big. And it's between the sidewalk and the driveway, so it's right there on a triangle. And every time you walk by, it grabs you. Okay, so I kind of keep trimming it back a little bit. And it's pretty, and it blooms. But I noticed the last few years that, you know, after it blooms, well, then what you see is the rest of the plant. And the rest of the plant didn't look real good. I'm seeing dead places, and I've even had some branches that kind of started up that looked like they're about half withered, and they didn't produce anything. There wasn't anything on them. It was real strange. So I started pruning last spring, and I wasn't sure how this was going to work out because I'd never done this with this particular rose. I cut the whole thing clear to the ground. I mean, clear to the ground. I told Kathy, I says, I don't know. It may kill it. I don't know. We're going to find out. I got rid of all the dead because when I started pruning on it, there wasn't any place to stop to get rid of the dead. And that thing came back, and it was beautiful. And my point is, you tell me what my point is. How does that relate to us as Christians? What do we need to do in our lives if we're going to be fruitful? We need to get rid of the dead. Okay? We need to get rid of the dead in our lives, the things that aren't productive, the things that aren't fruitful. Okay, now how does God prune us? We know how we do it physically with the plant, but how does God prune us? Well, verse 3 kind of gives us an idea. He says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Now, the word clean there and the word prunes have the same root word in Greek, okay? And so it's kind of the same, it's kind of the pruning and cleaning are kind of the same thing. But how is it done? Through the Word. Okay? It's through the Word. All right, so the Word, God uses the Word to kind of prune us, to clean us. The Word tells us what we need to do to be cleansed, to be saved, and that's all part of the pruning process. When we bear fruit for God, okay, He will use the Word and everything related to the Word, you know, all our times together, we're being pruned right now. Agree? Yes? No?
Yep.
Hopefully. Because we use these times to make us better, to cleanse us. The Word is what saves us, and God uses the Word. You know, by this is accomplished through hearing, believing, and obeying the Word. That's how we are cleansed. That's how we are pruned. That's how we are saved. Now, in verse 4, he talks about abiding, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, the word abide there is used in this passage about 7 times. So I think that means it's pretty important. Now, what does it mean to abide in something? What's abide mean? What?
Live in.
Good one. I've got that down. Good job. Live in. Okay. Join to. We are joined to the vine. We are joined to Christ. And I think the key there is the connection between the vine and the branch. As I said before, that connection has got to be a solid connection. And the more solid it is, the stronger and the more fruit we're going to provide and the more we're going to abide in Him. Now, I'm sure you have seen a branch that's partly broken off. Still attached, but partly broken off. Rob knows that very well, unfortunately. Right, Robert? Now, what do you know about a branch like that? I wasn't thinking that's sort of a big tree branch like Rob had to deal with, but if you've got, you know, a plant or something, and one of the branches or one of the stems kind of breaks, but it doesn't break off. It just kind of lay in there, still attached. What happens to it? Withers, it dies. Does it produce anything? No. Probably it's eventually going to die. Okay. But I hope that doesn't describe us as Christians. You know, if we're just hanging by a thread, if we're not totally connected to that vine, okay, if we're just hanging by a thread, or maybe 2 or 3 threads, you know, the connection is not good, and we're not gonna abide in Christ like He wants us to. We're not gonna produce fruit like He wants us to if that connection is not complete and solid. So as we look at our lives, and I'm looking at mine at the same time, I'm asking myself, you know, how solid is that connection? Am I really connected to Christ, or am I just kind of hanging there? Only about half. And Jamie?
I know, let's stay with the branch there. You know, if you lose a branch in a windstorm or something, and it breaks off, or it, you know, comes completely off, you know, that broken limb allows the elements of the outside world to kind of come in. And sometimes that
Yeah.
Sometimes it goes back and affects the main part of the tree.
Good point.
And that really applies to what you're saying here. That allows the world to come in. If we're not out there and we're dead and we're rotting, it allows the world to kind of come in and sneak back to the base, the church here, and it affects us.
Well, and along that same line, we are all branches. If one of us is broken off, or partly broken off, as Jamie's talking about, does that affect the whole thing? Yeah. I mean, every single branch is important. And none more so than others. We're all important. We're all connected. But it's important that we're all connected with that solid connection with Christ. And if just, you know, if one of us isn't, then that affects the whole body. And so it's important, you know, that we try to encourage each other and focus on keeping everybody attached firmly and solidly to the branch. Because that's where the life is.
Maybe that could work on your headlight on your car. If it's not getting the power through, your light's not working on.
That's true. We've got to talk about light in a minute, I hope, if we have time. But okay, so jumping down to, well, in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Zilch. Now, we're talking spiritually now, okay? You can exist physically apart from Christ. I wouldn't recommend it, but you can do it. And if that's where you are tonight, I hope you reconsider that. But spiritually speaking, we have got to be connected to Christ. We've got to abide in him. It's got to be solid, a complete connection. And that means every day and not just, well, Sunday and Wednesday. You know what I mean? It's every day. It's not just one day. It's not part of the time. It's full time. It's all the time. It's 24/7, whatever you want to call it. You know, a living union with Christ is absolutely necessary. Without it, there is nothing. And when I was reading that, we're not going to have time to do it, because it just isn't going to be enough time. I thought of the song, Without Him, which really kind of fits with the whole thing. It's number 544 in your songbooks. If you want to look at a songbook, Without Him I Could Do Nothing. Okay, beautiful song. Words are perfect for what we're talking about. We just don't have time to do all of that right now. But look that song up, Without Him, number 544 in your songbooks, because it really fits. Okay, we've only got about 5 minutes, I think. I'm getting a yes back there. Okay. All right. So anyway, verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. What is it referencing there? What is that in a reference to? The dead branches? Judgment. Yeah. Okay. Just as those dead branches are worthless, okay, spiritually speaking, if we're outside of Christ, we're not helping Christ. We're not abiding in him. We're worthless for the cause of Christ if you're outside of Christ. Now, I got to think about it. If you cut a branch off, can you put it back on?
Not unless you're an expert grafter.
Probably, and it may depend on how long you leave it off. If you leave it off for a while and it dies, can you put it back on? I don't think so. You know what the neat thing is? Us being branches. If our connection to Christ isn't complete, if we've been broken off, we've been separated, you know what? We can change that. We can change that. As long as we're living. When we die, it's too late. But right now, if that relationship isn't what it's supposed to be in Christ, we can change that. So we don't have to be a dead branch. We don't have to be separated from Christ. Right? We can make changes in our lives and become reattached back to Him and be a part of the body, a part of the vine, as He wants us to be. I got to think about that. That's so neat because it's not permanent like it is with a dead branch. Okay? We can change that, and that is so neat. Okay, verse 7, that's probably where we might get through this. Okay. At verse 7, he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." How do you interpret that? Can I ask for whatever I want? What does that mean to you? In the beginning there is key. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, he says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. What are we really talking about here?
I think that's our spirituality.
Exactly. We're talking spiritual. I ran across a commentary when I was studying up on this that I thought put it really well. Because, you know, if you just take that, you got to be careful. If you just take that the way it sounds, it almost sounds like, well, I can ask for whatever I want and I'm going to get it as long as I'm a Christian. Uh-uh. We all know that anyway. We ask, but we don't always receive. As we've talked before, when God answers our prayers, it might be yes. It might be no. Maybe it's not now. Maybe it's later. Okay? But I think this is really good. He says, "This must be understood not of temporal things such as riches, honors, profits, pleasures, or whatever even the carnal mind of a believer himself may sometimes desire, but of spiritual things spiritual, and with such limitations and restrictions as these, whatever is according to the will of God." And boy, that is key. Whatever is according to the will of God, for the Spirit of God himself asks for no other for the saints. Whatever is for the glory of God and for their own spiritual profit and edification, and whatever is agreeable to the words and doctrines of Christ which abide in them. Everything of this kind they ask in faith, with a submission to the divine will, they may expect to receive. Just like Jesus in the garden. He prayed 3 times to the Father, "Let this cup of suffering pass from me." And he ended it all 3 times the same way. What was it? "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus did not want to go to the cross. Agree or not? But he was willing. He prayed that it might not have to be that way. That wasn't God's will. And he prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." That was his whole focus in his ministry, was doing God's will. Okay? And our prayers need to be the same way, striving to do what God wants us to do and praying for things that God wants us to have. I'm not going to pray for a new house or a new car or stuff like that. That's not spiritual. Mike?
I wanted to connect it back to the beginning of the lesson and say that, you know, if we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, you know, we know that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those things are God's will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, the house and all that.
Yeah.
It seems strange, but, I mean, there are people who, you know, preach that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think Jesus' example in the garden is really key. You know, it was the Father's will, not what he wanted. It was what God wanted. And he was willing to do that, and thank God that he did. Okay? Are we out of time back there? Sam shaking his head up and down and bobbing. And one final note. The end result of all of this is what? If we are exemplifying the fruits of the Spirit in our lives and we are living the way God wants us to live, verse 8 says, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." You know, Matthew, and to close, Matthew 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before others so that you will be glorified." Right? No. "Let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify" who? "Your Father who is in heaven." It's for God's glory. Not my glory. Not your glory. Any fruit that I produce is not for me, it's for him. Okay? All right, I guess we're out of time. Thanks, folks.